Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now talk radio show sponsored by NASCA. My name is Penelope Bennett from Seattle, Washington. I am your host this evening, and along with me is your co-host, Charlie Sucker. We welcome you. Tonight is special guest night at NASCA on this Wednesday, November 11th, Veterans Day 2020. Special guest is Rick Cosentino from New Hampshire. He is a returning NASCA family member. But before I bring Rick on and introduce him briefly through a bio, I want to talk about NASCA, because at NASCA we have a single purpose: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. The first, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, abbreviated CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And second, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. So I invite you, if you're listening and you would like to call in, I invite you to call and be on our panel. My very capable co-host, Charlie Sucker, will welcome you into the show. That number is area code 646-595-2118. Again, it's 646-595-2118. I would like to introduce our special guest, Rick Cosentino from New Hampshire. He is a returning NASCA family member, and he is a survivor of sexual assault, physical abuse, and emotional trauma from an early age. Rick was raped while in foster care when he was 5 years old. Later, Rick's mother reunited the family, and Rick tried to put the horror he'd experienced out of his thoughts. There's more of his bio that Rick has generously shared with us, but I'm going to stop and introduce Rick and allow him to tell his story. So without further ado, Rick, I welcome you to the show.
Hey, Penelope, this is Charlie. How are you?
Fine. How are you? I'm actually not seeing Rick having called in yet, unfortunately.
Right. That's what I was. I jumped on to jump in and give you a little hand here. So just for our listening audience, Penelope, this is Penelope's first night of being a host, and what an amazing job she's already begun. Unfortunately, at this time, our special guest, Rick Constantino from New Hampshire, has not called into the show, and we are awaiting that. If someone out there, Bill, if you're hearing this, Carol, if you're hearing this and you have contact information for Rick, please get in touch with him and have him call in. In the meantime, you what a great first time coming out of the gate getting things started, Penny. Wonderful job.
Well, thank you, Charlie. And you know what? Hey, from the frying pan to the fire, these things happen, things come up. And, you know, one of the great things about NASCA, Charlie, that I've really come to appreciate is our NASCA family, our family members, the callers that call in to be on the panel. And I do see that we have a robust panel this evening. And so I will look towards your suggestion of how to move forward at this point.
Sure, absolutely. And we would definitely will do something here. I can tell you what, listeners, we're going to have a show no matter what. Just so everybody kind of understands what's going on behind the scenes, I am reaching out to Bill and Carol to see if they can reach out to our special guest. If our special guest is listening and you're attempting to call in or you don't recall the number to call in, I would suggest that I'll give you the number. And as a matter of fact, I suggest that our listeners, if they'd like to join the panel, definitely give us a call in too. The call in number is 646-595-2118. Again, Rick Constantino, if you're listening and you're not certain what the number is to call in, 646-595-2118. And that same number, it will be for those of you who want to join the panel. In the meantime, well, I don't know, Penelope. Let's see. We're not going to put you on the hot seat, but you're the host. So I'm going to say, how about we kind of put our heads together here and we come up with something. I mean, hey, you and I have put together shows out of the blue in the past. So I'm going to give you carte blanche with me here to assist you though. And take it in whatever direction you feel comfortable at this moment. Again, when Rick calls in, we're anticipating he will. We will definitely stop whatever we're doing and begin our focus on Rick. But in the meantime, folks are waiting to hear our new host say a few things. Charlie, to be quiet because he talks too much on Wednesday night.
Not at all, Charlie. I've learned so much from you. And I know we have Bob from Australia, and we have another panel member, Victoria from Minnesota, if I'm remembering my state abbreviations correctly. I think my suggestion would be let's get their mics on, and we can open up the dialogue, and we can talk about abuse issues relating to not only our stories, but how, you know, NASCA serves as a great platform for all of us to come together as adults and have a chance to see and camaraderie and understanding and healing in this venue. What are your thoughts on that, Charlie?
Oh, I think it's great. You know what? I actually was sitting here thinking of something. Bob from Australia, our dear darling brother out of Australia, brought something to my attention. And it's not just the other day. Numerous times, Bob and I have had many conversations about this subject matter. And again, this is right now until our special guest calls in. This is your show tonight, Penelope. So I'm going to throw this idea at you. But Bob had a wonderful idea about creating a forum where we can talk. I know this show focuses a lot on the current trauma or past traumas that we've experienced, and we talk about those and the results of them. But what about the possibility of a show where you can share the joy of what you found out of your healing process as opposed to what the healing process was? Just throw an idea out there. So kind of a different way of looking at things.
I think it's a fabulous idea. Let's do it.
Well, let's do it then. Let's do it. And Victoria, thank you for calling in. So my suggestion, if I was to toss one out there, was I might be a good idea to bring Bob in first and explain what I probably didn't explain so well, as he so eloquently will put it. And again, Rick Constantino, if you're hearing the show and you're thinking the show went on without you, no, the show did not go on without you. We are just patiently awaiting your arrival. In the meantime, we are filling the space with other information.
Absolutely. So I will now unmute Bob's mic and invite Bob onto the show. Bob, good morning on November 12th, right, in Australia. Penelope and Charlie.
Hey!
Saying hello.
G'day, Penelope. And I won't call you Pat because, for me, the words I use are very important. And for me, if I use the word pen, it brings up an enclosure, you know, like, so, yeah. For me, my words are my spells, so I do cast them wisely. But yeah, what I would like to talk about, you know, and you can pull a pin on me anytime you like because it's your show, and all kudos to you for stepping up to the plate. It, yeah, it takes courage to be in that position. But for me, after 30 years of going from trauma and as a victim and then going through recovery, I would just like to spend more time on focusing what is beyond recovery. And for me, that's, I am so blissful. I am so joyful in my life. And, you know, I'm just an ordinary bloke. And if I can get there, well, you know, anybody else can. And this phrase springs to mind that where attention goes, energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm so grateful for being part of the Nazca family. And I've had the same argument with CCHR, the Central Commission for Human Rights, where for the last 25 years they've been focusing on, oh, you know, look at all these people that are being shock treated and poisoned with pharmaceutical antidepressants and stuff, you know, and the focus has all been on the negative. And what I would like to see is a shift where we actually bring our attention to focusing on the positive, that there is a joyous life beyond recovery, but it doesn't happen until you do the work. And so, and this is just an observation, and you can, don't shoot the messenger, you know, so I'm on my own here, but so many of the shows I've listened to are people sharing their stories, and it's all gloom and doom, and yeah, and it's really, really painful. And it would be nice if we as a family could start focusing on the life beyond recovery, you know. And I don't know how to put it, Penelope, you know, but
I think you put it beautifully because I can resonate with everything that you said. And I like the fact that you stated it so eloquently, but also that you don't dismiss the fact that healing from, you know, childhood maltreatment and abuse, it's work. We do put in the work, but that there's beauty in the work, and it's tough work, but that going through that brings you to this beautiful side of healing. And the beauty of it, and the hope in it, and you know, in healing, you're not just, as you said, with the medicines and all the other treatments, the shock treatment. You're not just treating the symptom. The healing process is addressing the problem that leads to the path of healing. And I think you said, is it synchronicity before on shows, Bob?
Yeah, it's for me. It's all about synchronicity, and mm-hmm. You know, I'm not here to change the world. Maybe I can, but for me, there is a balance to strike between sharing our painful stories, because I believe that through sharing our stories and our journey, we help to heal each other, And there's a fine line between sharing our stories and rehearsing our wounds and sticking in that victim space. And so,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a question of striking a balance between the two. Like, everybody share their story because they're going to have feelings, and feelings are healings. But my message is, you don't have to live in that. You don't have to live in that. There is a way through that and beyond that. So I'll shut up, Penelope, because I could go on for hours on this. Just, if anybody wants to come and experience the joy that I have in my life up here in the Whitsunday Islands, then you're all welcome. I've got plenty of room around my campfire. I'm not talking bullshit. I am walking my talk and living my dream. And every step I've ever taken, however painful, has brought me here to contentment. And if I can just share that with somebody and somebody else make the breakthrough, then all my work over the last 36 years will have been worth it.
Well, that's where the hope is, isn't it? Because as we're all in different stages of the healing process, and I've heard that on many special guest nights, we're all at different points. When you speak to your experience and where you are now, that gives such hope for others that it's the gold, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, if you will. I think there is gold if you go through the healing process, as painful as some of the stages of it seem to be. That is what brings hope. And it has brought and has kept me going in through difficult times to hear you and others express what you just expressed.
Yeah, well, Penelope, sister, this, for me, this is such a beautiful life experience. And yes, we are, I don't like using the word we, because I can't speak for anybody else. All I can do is share my story and what's worked for me. But, I've just come to realize that we're all in this together, and we're all here to lift each other up. And I can't wake anybody up. And I've worked as a counselor, and it's not my job to wake anybody else up, but that's their job. They all waken in their own time. And I'm just coming to the realization that the best thing I can do is just to let my own light shine. And through my light shining, that light attracts other people. And they start asking questions. And then a dialogue. And I can see it in their demeanor, that all of a sudden there's a little sparkle in their eyes. So that's the work I'm doing. But, I'm so great to be alive.
And what work you've done and continue to do and to speak of it, to inspire so many of us that have heard you as a panelist on the shows. And I so appreciate that you are on them, and I've benefited so much. So thank you. I'm going to come back to you. I am going to invite Victoria on next, but I wish to thank you, and we'll talk in a few minutes.
Hi there.
Hi, Victoria. This is Penelope. How are you?
Hi, Penelope. You're doing a great job.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. Well, I've had a very amazing, thank you, amazing example in Charlie. He has trained me from a co-host and helped me to get to this point tonight, as has Tammy.
Yep.
So thank you very much. It's just truly a privilege to be here this evening, and especially speaking
I'm
with
really
you.
Glad.
Thank you.
And I like the topic that was brought up. And, I always tell people, because they feel like they're not at the right place or not, as far as they should be or whatever, and I think we always have to remember that, your journey starts with a single step. And everybody's at the same spot. Not everybody's on the same path, you know. There's mm-hmm. different paths to get to, you know. But that, you know, I always thought there was a point where, like, I'd be done with all this or, you know, I'd be healed or whatever you
right.
want to call it. But, you know, when I first got into therapy and stuff, I was 21 and I'm 58 now and I'm still doing the work, you know. And
mm-hmm.
The thing is that, you know, I never thought, you know, people would talk about serenity, and I didn't have a clue what they meant. They would be talking about it, and I'd be just like, what is that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had never felt it. And now I feel serenity, you know? Quite a few, some days are days, and sometimes days are moments, you know, that I feel
mm-hmm.
it. And if it wasn't for, you know, the people that I met that helped me along the way and the professionals and, you know, places that I went to, and not all were good, not all were helpful, but, you know, I don't remember the other guy that was talking, but as he said, you know, to focus on, you know, the good parts of it. And then for me, I've been speaking and doing outreach work for, you know, ever since I was 21. And I like to always talk about, you know, the things that helped me, but also the things that might have been different, you know, especially when I'm talking to professionals, you know. Well, maybe this would have helped. For instance, you know, maybe when somebody comes into your office, you might ask them if they're a survivor of childhood abuse, you know, things like that. But also, in addition, make sure that they know that they are helpful and they are there, you know, to help us out. And, you know, I'm not professionally trained or anything, but I'm trained as far as gone through it, you know. And I'm also in recovery. I have 34 years sober. And
congratulations.
Thank you. 37 years in Al-Anon, but that doesn't mean I don't struggle, you know. People say one day at a time, and I always say one moment at a time because that's all I can do. But,
right.
you know, I've come from a dark place and learned the one thing that, you know, that I learned, and I just wrote in because it looks like there's some open spots for speaking. I've told my story a couple times. I met Bill, I think, about 10 years ago, Bill Murray. And
mm-hmm.
so I've done a couple speaking things, and I've been on the, you know, radio as a panelist quite a few times. And, but, you know, I learned a lot of coping skills. Journaling really helped me. Art helped me. You know, there were a lot of things that helped me. I mean, I couldn't even leave my house. I was, you know, so afraid to leave my house and everything. And I was so afraid to do anything. And I'm having flashbacks all the time. And my life is completely different, you know. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for Lynaska, because I worked with battered women and sexual assault victims for a long time, but I never really got to tell my story of childhood abuse. And, you know, even if somebody just gets on, you know, the NASCA website and just starts reading a little bit about it. I mean, that is like the first step, or gets into the
mm-hmm.
NASCA closed meeting on Facebook or something, you know. I mean, yeah, but, you know, that we all got to take that first step. So it doesn't matter where you're at, you know, and it's a healing journey, and I plan on doing it till I die.
And thank you. Thank you for all that you've stated. In fact, in the you know, when you first started speaking and we were talking about, you know, getting to the place and having those moments of peace, I actually got goosebumps. So thank you. Thank you for
mm-hmm.
sharing that. And I also,
sure.
you know, wish to thank you for your candor and also the fact that I agree, NASCA, that the platform that has been built, whether you're on
yeah.
the, you know, public Facebook page, on the website, you're calling into the show, you're going to one of the recovery meetings, which are 3 days a week, Tuesday, I believe,
Tuesday,
and
Thursday,
Sunday.
And Sunday.
Yeah. 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So incredible resources, no matter where you are, as you mentioned. So thank you for all that you've shared.
Yes. Sure.
And I really look forward to speaking with you again as we go through the panel. We've had a couple other people join us. So if it's okay, I'd like to say I'll talk to you in a few more minutes. And I'm going to bring on another panelist. So thank you, Victoria. I'd like to bring on Pamela from Louisiana. We've also had Carol, our Vice President NASCA, join us, but I'm going to invite Pamela on. She's been waiting a while. Pamela, good evening. I'm Penelope.
Hi, Penelope.
The host this evening. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Thank you for calling in. I don't know if we've spoken before, and I know you're probably aware, but we're still waiting. Our special guest has not called in yet, so the suggestion was made that we, as you've been listening, speak about the other side of healing, the peace and the beauty that has come through going through the journey. So I welcome you to this conversation, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I'm calling from Louisiana. I've been part of NASCA for about, I'd say about 2 years now. And I love letting people know about NASCA because it's just a unique place to get together and talk to one another. And I'm old-fashioned. I'd rather talk to somebody than text any day of the week. I'm 63 years old, and I just think we lose a lot now not talking to one another, you know. And so I thank Bill, and I'm going to be starting to send financial support because now I'm coming into a little bit of retirement money. And Bill, if you're out there, and I would like to encourage others, please send a few dollars because I know it helps, you know, with all the expenses that Bill has to come across for the website and, you know, all that's done through the website. And so I just want to be an encourager for people to just share a few dollars here and there. Another thing, you know, just about me, and it took me a long time to get healed, but after going through 5 years of civil litigation with my childhood abuser, he abused me from the age of 4 to 18 with my mother's consent, and I didn't learn that she knew till I was in my 50s, and once I learned that I knew, she didn't want anything to do with me anymore, and that was kind of tough, you know, but I got through that, and I truly understood that, you know, she was a narcissist, and she had no love or empathy. She was the most uncaring and unfeeling woman I've ever met in my life. And so after getting through that and getting my therapist when I was about 54, when I started having to deal with the repressed memories, that was the best woman I've ever met. And she's still in my life today. We still talk monthly, you know. And finding the complete closure and the healing is, I just want to encourage everybody out there that's struggling as a victim still. I categorize, I have a book and a workbook that I came across, the therapy that I created to help fast track victim and survivors to become advocates and become healed. And during that process, I did it during the time I was working on my master's in social work. So I'm an MSW registered social worker here in the state of Louisiana. And that really helped me understand the family system and, you know, how this, and when I started dealing with all this, I really thought, you know, how alone I was in it. And then with Bill doing NASCA, I'm like, wow. And then he had some statistics up there on the website saying there are 60 plus million Americans dealing with childhood sexual abuse. That is crazy. Those are crazy numbers. You know, major groups of people that get into therapy and network with each other, kind of like back in the day. Group therapy came about and originated after World War II, when the troops were coming home and they were shell-shocked, and there were so many of them, they had to heal them in groups, okay? And so that's the premise behind group therapy. And so the more we get together, talk to one another, find out what each other went through and their different paths, we can see the connections and the crossways, you know, how different people get healed. And I just want to say that I found my healing through dealing with the grief of losing my loss of my sexual innocence. And in my book, I use all the stages that I went through: denial, anger, bargaining, acceptance, and then depression, acceptance. And then I added three more stages: closure, striving, and thriving. And closure really can come. It can really break that cycle, that tape that goes around in your head that's constantly keeping you reliving it over and over, and thinking of those people over and over, and waking up to it, going to sleep to it. I mean, that can literally be broken. And the peace that you get from that, and how your life goes forward, and you mature faster, and you develop, you know, you develop to become the mature person you were meant to be. And I also received sexual purity. You know, I don't see myself as that dirty child anymore. I see myself as a child of purity. So I received my sexual innocence back, actually.
That is incredible. Pamela, would you mind the name of your book? And before I state that, we are not a religious or political organization at NASCA, but we do support each other and our members, and a lot of our NASCA members have written books. And I always like to ask, and I've heard my co-host ask, the name of the book so I can support each other. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that with us.
Okay. It's the book was actually just renamed, okay? And the reason was I was trying to sell it on with some Google ads, and they said I couldn't sell it because of the title. And there's some censoring going on, so I actually had to change it. The first title was I Was a Whore at Four, the Redemptive Story of a Child's Sex Life. I just recently changed the name to Pimped from 4 to 18, A Survivor's Fast Track to Mental Wholeness. So, and then I have a workbook that goes along as a companion to the book called Grief Stages Plus Narrative Therapy. And that therapy is what I came up with as far as people taking the book to their therapist and working through the grief stages for loss of something, you know. And
the
thing about
that, right?
The thing about yeah, and I don't think people realize, but I realized at some point that I was grieving that loss of that, and I had to deal with that grief, you know, head on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to. And one thing about the grieving process is you have to face the reality of where you are. Are you stuck in denial? Are you stuck with anger? Are you moving through the process? You know, you have to be. Life is fluid, you know, and if you get stuck, you know, it's more difficult. Like, I'm telling you, some people do not want to move out of the victim stage, and that is perfectly fine if that's where they want to stay. Realize they even can, because they're so stuck and steep in the trauma, you know, and maybe they don't have the social support they need.
Or that's all you know is pain. You don't realize there's another feeling that's possible. And I love the fact that you've written this book. And again, let me reiterate the title: Pimped from 4 to 18, The Survivor's Fast Track to Mental Wholeness. Is that correct?
Mental wholeness, yes.
Okay, thank you. And, you know,
You're
I also
welcome.
Wish to thank you for your mention about NASCA and supporting NASCA. So it's www.nascanaasca.org. And yes, NASCA is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. On that front page of the website, there is a contribution page, and anything helps. So thank you for bringing that up, Pamela,
yes.
Very much so. And I really appreciate and thank you for all of your comments. And I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to get to Carol now, our VP
well,
of NASCA from New Jersey.
Tell you real quick.
Yes.
I wanted to tell you real quick. I'm the Alabama ambassador for NASCA. So
oh.
They go under the ambassadors part. My name and information, on, and they can call me or email me, and I'll get them a book. Okay? And it's
oh, wonderful.
Free.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That's so. Thank
yeah.
you so much for that, Pamela. So if you are on the website again on that front page, there is a NASCA ambassadors link that you just hyperlink. You just press on it, and then you go to the state of Louisiana, and you will find Pamela's contact
Alabama.
Information. I'm sorry.
Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, Alabama. I'm corrected. Not Alabama. So it's the first under region number 5, South and West. Thank you, Pamela.
You're welcome.
I am now going to say hello to Carol, our Vice President of NASCA. Hey, Carol.
Hi. Yeah. I just received a notification on my cell phone that I guess hadn't, called in. You know, I work with the ambassadors, and I've given out and I've spoken on many of the shows, too, for the ambassadors, if they could even call in once a month, okay, if they could do that. That would be very helpful. And then that way you get your name known out there also, that you're the ambassador, you know, for your state. So I'm glad to have you on tonight. I'm glad you called in. And as far I was listening to something that you said, and also I have contacted by email or by telephone call, so I will be getting in touch with you. One thing I want to say here with the stuck, being stuck, okay. First of all, I'm an alcoholic and drug addict, and thankfully I haven't had a drink since 1981, and that's a good long time. And but there isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about, you know, drinking hardly. If I pass a liquor store, I definitely look in. And in the summertime, for some reason, it seems to be harder because you go into barbecues, you have barbecues, whatever, and other people drinking around you. And there's always going to be that little part of us that's still trying to drown out, if you will, the little girl inside of us and the big girl that we've grown up to be, you know, who went through so much abuse as a child. As far as being stuck, I think that's very, very common on the healing journey. And when people have therapists that they can go to, or they have groups like NASCA, and there's always a contact list. I'm the night owl. I received phone calls. I had two last night in the a.m. Where people do call and ask for help. And then I take them to the program page, and this is what I've been writing the ambassadors. If you go on the front of the website, the NASCA website, over to the left under the first bar, the red bar, it says programs, and you click on to that. This is very simple to do. Go down to your state. If you're from New Jersey or from New York, whatever, I'm from both, actually. Click on to your state, and many programs do drop down. It's like a menu, and you scroll. And people out there, if you're feeling lonely or if you're scared, you don't quite want to call in, or you don't want to, or you're afraid to go to a therapist, or maybe you don't have the insurance, you don't have the money, whatever. There are probably programs in your area. So I always advise the ambassadors that I have gotten in touch with, and just people in general, I'm speaking now, to go to the programs on the front page of NASCA. I had two men contact me not too long ago from Lafayette, New Jersey, And they thanked me very much because they found programs. So that was helpful. So it does work, okay? You're not judged in these programs. You go there, you will have the same problems, maybe not the same stories, of course. But you can make friends that way. And it's evidently turning to be quite successful. As far as staying stuck, that is normal to some degree. And I hope that people don't want to stay in that position, though, but they may need more help. So programs can be good. Therapists can be good. NASCA, of course, can be good. And, again, the contact list, you can always call and talk to people so you don't have to be alone. That's what we're here for at NASCA. And I also appreciate the fact that that you asked, you know, for people to contribute. I've contributed already this year, and there are other people that I know that contribute from time to time. But it's when we go out and do our presentations, which we can't do right now because of the COVID, and things like that, it's really very helpful. You know, if people, you know, do send it, I don't care if it's a few dollars. It doesn't have to be a huge amount, okay? But everything is helpful because we're trying to get the word out about child abuse. And, of course, people know about child abuse. Now we have to make them or help them to understand why they should care, okay? And many of us are all on different parts of our healing journey. I believe I'm like 85 to 90% healed. I don't think I'm ever going to totally heal. I have been so sexually abused in my life and beaten and thrown out and cast away. I mean, my story I told the other night, on Monday night. And but I'm okay, all right? And as long as we get to the point in our healing journey, and you know when that time's going to be because you know how you feel about yourself. And as far as the racing mind of the memories that you were speaking about, I'm hypervigilant. People who know me know that I'm a little on the hyper side, but that keeps me going. I don't look at that as being too bad. But the memories, the nightmares, all the things that we do suffer from yet, and I do have nightmares at times, I've learned to sit up and say, mm-mm, and turn over and go back to sleep. You do and can get to that point in your life. And you can do that. You can heal. You can be productive. And there is life after abuse. Some of us have a harder time getting to that point. I've taken a stand in my life where I've said all those people that abused me, I don't feel like I have to forgive them because they knew what they were doing. Now, this is just me, okay? And I wouldn't get an I'm sorry from any of them anyway, so I just get rid of toxic people in my life and move on. And we can do that. We are survivors. And I want to say something, too, about survivorship. Those of us who are strong enough, who've gotten to the point in our lives where we become strong, we can go out and be of great service to people. I also work with the homeless. I was doing that in New York City. Of course, I can't do that right now, can I? But I was doing that and then loving it. That was part of a church group. There are different organizations you can become a part of, you know, where when you're helping people, whether it be the homeless or working with kids, which I did and so many years ago, and I got to decide I'm going back to that, and I've done it, and I'm doing it. You know, that makes us stronger, too, because that's healing us. That's healing the little kid inside. Remember the little kid, the child within, okay, who was so abused and who needed help and love as a child, and we didn't get it. So when we go out and we be of service to other people, it makes us stronger. Some people have nowhere to go on Thanksgiving. I don't have that problem, but there's many people who do. Go to a soup kitchen. Be of service in the soup kitchen, and you know what? You'll feel so good about yourself. So that helped me heal. I did go to counselors. Yes, I did therapists. In fact, I'm a counselor. And I worked, though, in the methadone field as a counselor and also in alcohol and drug abuse and all that. But I also worked in other areas where I was getting training all the time, constant training and constant courses I had to attend I had terrible panic attacks. I started at the age of 9 until 49, and that was crazy, and it held me back at times, and I hated it. And finally, I got so mad at my panic attacks, my anger was actually stronger than my panic. And that's how I got over it. Doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone. I wanted so to move forward and to live my life and be of service. So don't ever feel like if you're feeling stuck that you can't get help. There's people right here at NASCA, again, that you can call. You can call me up. I'm up in the AM. I'm the night owl, okay? A part of that is psychological. I'm aware of that. Took a lot of sociology classes and psychology classes. I know where I'm at. And, you know, a lot of my abuse was in the AM. So I'm still, a part of me is trying to control, if you will, the AM, making it right. And that's why my hours are off. When people are up, I'm sleeping. I'm like nocturnal. You know, that's just the way it is. So I figure I might as well be a service during those hours. So, you know, you can always call me if you have questions or if you need help. I'm right on the contact list. Being a part of NASCA is one of the best things. Yeah, one of the best things that happened. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to get that out there. And also to the ambassadors, those who are listening, those who are on the show, get to know the website really, really well. And by doing this, you can direct people where to go, where they can learn more things about their conditions, flashbacks, things like that, so forth. Okay, go ahead, Penelope. I've never spoken with you before. No. Hello, hello.
No, hello. Thank you so much for calling it. So nice to speak with you one-on-one. Finally.
Well, it is nice. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
You know, yes. Something that you just said really struck me. First of all, because there's a parallel, I, too, was molested in my sleep at night, so the horrors of the night and the nightmares,
mm-hmm.
and I tend to want to escape. I split right before bed. I become a completely different person. I want to numb myself by binge watching shows, and I just the numbing so that because the nighttime is so scary, I can relate to that. But you just stated something that struck me, which was the night you do struggle with the AM, but you found mm-hmm. a way nocturnally to help other people during that time when you were hurt. And that's,
right.
I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing.
And it makes you stronger, too, Penelope. See, when
yeah.
I worked with the Midnight Run, that's I loved that group. We would go to New York City at midnight. That's why we called the Midnight Run, because the homeless are out on the streets. And you know, with all of this terrorism that's going on now, crazy, 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 this is not right. This is a bad thing, bad deal. The homeless who are out on the streets, they go into the shelters. There's belongings get pilfered through. They lose a lot of their stuff. Sometimes there's a lot of fights that break out. This is why you see them many times out on the street. They'd rather fight the street or feel actually get some solace, get some silence in the street. They find their own place, maybe an abandoned building or whatever. And, you know, they're actually safer there. That just sounds crazy, but that's why they're not in the shelters, okay? That's why you see them out on the street. But, you know, whether we're working with kids or whether we're working with adults, the one thing that I have found common in all the people that I've worked with is they all came many times from pasts like ours, okay? And, you know, it's such a sad thing. They don't know how to live their lives because of all the abuse that they, and they never got help, okay, all the abuse that they went through, you know. And we have vets out on the street. This is horrifying. And, you know, it's terrible. Last time I was there was a vet in a wheelchair. And he wouldn't come to the group, and we had soup, we had sandwiches, we prepared all this stuff before we went into the city. We had a lot of people who donated clothing. We had everything, you know, that these people needed, toiletries, everything you can think of, even underwear, anything you can think of. And we went to 3 different parks. It was mostly in Manhattan. We needed to go in other areas. But the point is this, okay, if we become people of service, if we can do this, and you can reach that point, it helps in our healing journey. Because
absolutely.
Because Charlie's here, and at the end of the day, you know, you lay down and you feel better about you. Okay, you feel better about life. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In control. Well, Charlie, I think I was going to ask. I know that we just had another panel join us, Darlene and William from Tennessee. Charlie, is it okay if I bring on Darlene?
Absolutely, yeah. Darlene and William, just so you know, they are on the road traveling, so
okay.
There may be a little background noise from the road, but yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and mute my mic.
Okay, I will welcome them. Darlene and William from
Darlene's
Tennessee.
Darlene's in the other room at the moment.
Well, hello, William. I am Penelope.
Hello, Penelope.
Welcome. Nice to speak with you. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I understood what you were saying about the people and the vets and things like that and the homeless. And I'm familiar with that because I worked with a church called Carpenter's Church back in Lubbock, Texas that did some of that. And some of the vets and things, they wouldn't come in. So some people like me and my buddies that we had some military experience in that. So we could kind of wander out to those guys and kind of talk with them and stuff and create a friendship where we could get them a sandwich or a sack lunch or something like that to help them. But I do know what you're talking about because those guys – They shy away from everybody.
Well, it's very apropos.
Or they have a tenant.
Today is Veterans Day to pay tribute to all of our veterans and to thank them for their service to our country. And I think, you know, besides NASCA and NASCA's mission, but, you know, with veterans as well, but we are dealing with trauma, complex trauma. The healing from complex trauma, and
right
there.
And
yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but the VA has been like, well, the VA, they said they've been misdiagnosing some of these veterans with TBI too.
Mm.
I don't know if you're familiar with TBI.
Well, I am. The symptoms are very similar to that of those that have been traumatized in terms of what happens to the brain. And
right.
And we talked a little bit earlier on the show, I don't think that you were on, but we really decided to do the show focus on the healing and the other side of the darkness is the light and the healing and the peace that comes with healing. And that if you're treating the symptoms, with medications, and not they're not appropriate at sometimes, but the root of the problem is the trauma, the symptoms, and to be misdiagnosed. The symptoms are very similar, the TBIs and what the brain also, what happens to the brain with complex trauma and how it manifests.
Well, too, it creates psychological conditions, too, because the people are used to being able to be functional at one level, and now they're not functional at that level, and it creates psychological issues, too, that need to be dealt with as well. And many times they fail in that department. But that's why you have people like NASC and some other outreaches and some of the church outreaches and things, too, which I deal with that, too, because there's a veteran organization here that deals with homeless vets down in Birmingham. I don't know if you're well familiar with Alabama's setup, but there's a deal for veterans that are homeless and other things that are part of an outreach from the veterans out of Birmingham here in Alabama. Well, I'm not in Alabama. I'm in Tennessee right now.
Yes, we understand.
But,
I know Darlene. Sometimes I speak with her, she's in Alabama, and sometimes I speak with her, she's in Tennessee. So,
yeah.
But I wish to thank you both for calling in on the show. And we've got, the show does fly even when you change, even when we switch gears. It's, believe it or not, we've got 35 minutes left. We're almost done with the first hour. So, William, I wish to thank you, and I'm going to actually now go to my host, co-host, Charlie, and just check in. Charlie, hello.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what an amazing show you're putting together here, Penelope. And thank you to all of our call-ins. We have quite the lively panel and very diverse. And dare I say, and I shall, patient panel as well. So what a wonderful show we're putting together. And, your empathy that you carry that's natural in you, Penelope, is just exuding itself tonight with your interaction with each panel and their own, what they're bringing to the show or what they're bringing to us this evening. So thank you for that. I guess my input on today would be, yes, today is Veterans Day, recognized here in the United States of America. And I am blessed to be a sixth generation honorably discharged U.S. Armed Services veteran. And one of these struggles I see in what's happening in our world today, and I can only focus on my nation at the moment because that's where I live, but when I look at the totality of everything, is that the freedoms that we supposedly have been fighting for seem to have been decimated and dwindling away. And I, in my opinion, not this isn't on one of NASCA and or anyone else on the show, but we have got to be able to find a way to reunite and get rid of these chasms that have separated us. And I think as a veteran, both of the veterans of the military armed forces, and there's another war that gets little to no attention at all, and it's the war on children. And tonight on this show, everyone on this show tonight and those listening in the future are veterans of that war. Some of us were prisoners of that war. Some of us were missing in action during that war. And some of us, unfortunately, know people that were killed in action during that war. And it's that war, and today to those veterans, every one of you here on this show tonight and those listening in the future of this show, I hand salute each of you for your service while you were thrust into a war in your childhood that you should have never had to have been a member of. I salute you for where you are today. Thank you, veterans. And that's all I have to say, Penelope.
Oh, wow, Charlie. It was so poignantly stated. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're
for that. I'm speechless for once.
Well, I just think it's so vitally important. It's one of the things that I really I'm really looking and focusing on lately. I cannot take, and nor will I ever take credit for someone else's work. The concept of us, those of us who have transcended the war on children, which is what we've done. We're no longer in it. We're out of it, and we're doing what we do here now. That concept and that idea was brought to me by Andrew Vax, V-A-C-H-S-S, and I'm very actively involved with several of his initiatives. And he's the one that brought the idea even of us. We're all of us who are adults now are veterans of that war. And that war that's still ongoing daily, and right now there's the child right now, the POW of that war. There's children that are MIA, meaning missing in action, which we don't know where they are, but we know they're stuck in that war because they're still a child. And unfortunately, there's still children every day that are losing their lives. And sometimes losing a life isn't necessarily the actual physical loss of your life, but it's the loss of the life you should have had in your childhood. And that one's kind of deep. What's that?
Well, that's right. And that's what I believe Pamela alluded to as well, is that's the death of your innocence. And it needs to be grieved.
Exactly. And that's not something you can go get back. You know, although I did really enjoy hearing the reference to, and reference to being able to claim back that which was stolen from you and be able to allow yourself to re-experience the actual reclamation of that and then moving forward in that power. That was very powerful. That's a nugget I actually wrote down. So I want to get an opportunity to get rest of the panelists on here, because some of them have been really waiting very patiently and long. But
yes,
you're doing awesome tonight, Penelope. I so appreciate you. And what an amazing person you are, and empathy you have. And I'm honored to be here tonight in my ability to do the best I can as your co-host.
Well, thank you, Charlie. And as you know, there's love all around. Well, Bob, as you know, with NASCA, we have an international, we are an international organization, and we have Bob from Australia calling in. And he kicked us off. Bob, hello.
Hey, yeah, I'm still here. What an amazing show. And isn't it, I just find it interesting, like, how amazing things turn out when you just go with the flow, you know, and drop the plan, you know. And I just love the way the whole show's unfolded. What I would like to talk to, two points. The first point being this word, professional. Now, for me, in the arena of trauma recovery, for me, the only professionals that I acknowledge are those people that have actually worked through it. For me, I do not consider psychologists or psychiatrists or you know, any of that ilk professionals, because none of them have been through it. They've just observed the statistics and looked at trends, and this medication works for this long, and you know. So for me, the only true professionals in the arena that I'm coming from is the people that have worked through it. I've been working at this for over 36 years, so I consider myself a professional. And and you know I'm blunt, so I make no apologies. And the second thing that really wrenches my heart is the honoring of war. Now, for me, the biggest wound of a soul is for anyone to go to another country and shoot another person that looks like you. That's the biggest wound of the soul, the biggest sin that anyone can carry out. But unfortunately, for generations, the society we live in has been programming people to believe it is honorable to do that. And so for those people, and my heart goes out to the vets and all the people that have been hoodwinked by this corrupt society to go and do that. Because once they've carried out that action, you know, killed another living human being, or witnessed it, then there is a price to pay. And that price that they pay manifests in the physical as the pain and behaviors that they exhibit in the physical because of the wrong that they have allowed to happen in the spiritual. Because everybody knows in their heart of hearts what is right and what is wrong. And I know within my heart that it is wrong for me to take the life of another being. And so, although I feel sad for all the vets, I'm angry at the system that has been supported for so long, that has programmed so many people to give away their soul for their programming. And there's a line from a folk singing friend of mine who's now passed away, and Lester Hewlett. And it's a very powerful line. And the line goes, "And a rifle is just a weapon with a working man at either end." Because you don't see the politicians on the front line. You don't see the president on the front line. You don't see the civil servants on the front line. It's just normal people, normal human beings like you and me that have been programmed and brainwashed to believe that you have the right to go and kill somebody. But when I look at the earth, when I look at the globe, I don't see any boundaries. I don't see any divisions. We are all one species, and we only have one planet. So, you know, yeah. Okay, I'll shut up now.
No, as usual, Bob, I do appreciate your outspokenness.
Plus, you also sing, so there's a bonus. But you did, you know, you did articulate, I think, something that's just almost impossible to put into words, which is the sacrifice of our veterans. It's really hard to even articulate, not having walking issues, but to even pay tribute to that sacrifice and to even imagine what all entails. And so, you know, I thank you for that. And also for how Charlie, you know, brought our mission at NASCA with children, because they too are veterans. So, but I do thank you, Bob. And I'm actually now going to again welcome Victoria. We've been waiting quite a while. Victoria,
real
you're
quick,
back on.
Quick, can I? This is Charlie. Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And keep Victoria queued up. Keep Victoria queued up. Victoria, welcome back to the show.
Okay.
Just real quick, I wanted to kind of piggyback a little bit off of some things that darling Bob from our brother from Australia shared. And I want to perhaps enlighten some folks to a branch of the United States military armed services that actually isn't trained to go out and kill. They're actually trained to go out and save and rescue and do all that. And it's the branch of the military that I'm a veteran of, the armed services, and that's the United States Coast Guard. The reason I joined the United States Coast Guard is because I didn't want to be that person that had to look down the other end of a gun or a firearm or a weapon or whatever it is at another life and say, I need to take that life for what reason? And so I applaud what Bob was shared with us, and I absolutely support what he was saying in reference to that. But not all armed services are necessarily there to take the lives of others. And I can tell you firsthand, as a second-generation U.S. Coast Guardsman, our training was in life-saving, search and rescue, and creating a better life for those who live here in America and abroad where we are. I mean, it's funny, people don't know much about the Coast Guard, but it actually serves around the entire world. So again, there are branches of the service, or is at least one branch, that their main mission is not just destruction and death, but rather saving and rescuing and bringing life back. So there's that. And then the concept of the veterans of war on children, the veterans of war on children, we as children were thrust into that war. We didn't go to boot camp. We didn't choose to go, okay, let me go here and be trained in this. We were thrust into it and made to be soldiers, soldierettes, sailors, sailorettes, whatever you want to title you want to put on them. And thus and therefore, going back to what I said just a little while ago, the death of our childhoods, the death of portions of our lives in our childhoods were taken. But I definitely take Bob's point to heart and definitely understand what he was saying in reference to, you know, the idea of just going out and teaching to kill. And as Bob so eloquently says, I'm sorry, real quick, just as Bob so eloquently says, hurt people will hurt people. And we need to be able to go over that. So I'm going to be quiet now, Penelope.
No, I was going to say, and as children, we did not have weapons, but healing has been my weapon against the childhood abuse. It has counteracted that at a later age, but that I have found my weapon, and that is my voice. And
absolutely.
So on that note,
and that's the weapon of mass reconstruction.
Yes, it is. That is right.
All right.
That got
I'm going to be quiet.
Victoria, thank you for being so patient.
Hello.
Thank you, Victoria. Yes, you are.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. A couple things. First of all, saying that people want to stick in their victim state or whatever, I had a real hard time with victim blaming, you know. And I think to accept people exactly where they're at, that's what I try to do. I go to a lot of AA and Al-Anon meetings and support groups and stuff, and you know, like I said before, that people are at different stages of their lives. And I know, too, that a lot of people say, well, I was abused, and therefore I keep picking these abusers. And, you know, I just tell them these abusers are very, very skilled at what they do. And they seek out victims, you know. And the victim blaming can happen in so many places in so many ways. And I was talking to somebody that said that even a therapist was blaming them for their abuse, you know. And they were talking about a child that was going to therapy. And the parents were being abusive. And trying to, you know, tell the kid that, you know, it was their fault, you know, instead of putting the blame on who it belongs on. And that was me, too. I blamed myself for a long time. My dad molested me till I was 21, you know, and I was afraid to tell anybody because, you know, you're 18, you're an adult, and you could stop it, you know. And I blamed myself for a long time until I finally was able to put the blame back on, you know, the abuser. And that was a lot of work. You know, that was a lot of work. And I, too, have a real hard time with war. I got to go to an AA meeting where they have a meeting for veterans that survived the war. And nobody at my AA meeting ever tells them to quit talking about the war. But I can't tell you how many people I kept telling me to quit talking about my abuse, my child abuse. And what I try to say is that I lived my own private war. I said they had, you know, at least they had comrades, they had somebody beside them or whatever, you know. I was all alone. And like somebody said, you know, we weren't volunteered. We didn't train. We didn't get drafted. Well, I guess we did get drafted. I don't know. But, you know, I was molested before I was a year old. That's all I knew. You know, I mean, when I started therapy and they brought up the word boundaries, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, you know, because there was never any boundaries. I was always, you know, I was always being hurt. If somebody said they loved me, I just figured that meant they wanted something out of me or I owed them. And it took me a long, long time to trust anybody. You know, I went to meetings and people were nice to me and I was waiting for the other shoe to drop because that's how my life had been. You know, now I can trust people. But I went for a while where I just trusted everybody. And that was wrong too, you know. So sometimes I guess, you know, I'd go to one stream to the other and I kind of had to swing the pendulum back and forth till I finally got some middle ground. But once I told, you know, I kept calling myself a victim, and my therapist did say, you're more than a victim. You're an artist, you're a writer, your mother, your daughter. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not just a victim.
I know exactly what you mean. And I think that is a big part of the healing process. That's beautiful is that you do find your power and you realize you have it. And, but that's
more than a survivor.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. And I thank you for also bringing up, you know, not veterans. I'm glad that there's an AA group and the veterans are there and they're able to have that support and the empathy and having walked in those shoes. But what you said struck me. This is why NASCA is so important and the show is so important. Everybody on the panel today sharing their stories, because child abuse is pandemic. Childhood sexual abuse. We need to be able to talk about it and not be able to be shut down. The more we speak, the louder we are. We have to make it acceptable to talk about. And that's what really gets me going.
The first thing I thought about when I heard that, you know, people were going to be quarantined was the children that were going to be stuck in abuse, the children that maybe school was their only escape, or maybe a teacher would see that they were being abused. And all this time period now, you know, the kids haven't been going to school and stuff or going out in public, you know. And I just thought of myself being a child living in that household, even though I hated school and I was bullied. You know, it was like, I just can't imagine if I would have had to been around the abuse all the time. And then, you know, people have less money. Some of them lost their jobs, which makes them more irritated.
Yeah.
People couldn't go to bars, so they're drinking at home. I mean, that was the first thing that, not worried about me not being able to go out, but being worried about the children that are being hurt.
Of course.
And abuse. Absolutely. And abuse has gone up so far with children and, you know, spousal abuse in these days.
Absolutely. And that is what's so frightening about the quarantine, the pandemic, is
a lot of us, or a lot of people come on, that we, school was a safe place to go. It was a safe, it was away from home. It was safer.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. And I just thank you for all that you've shared. And I apologize.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned too, though, I want to say one thing. Somebody mentioned too that they're going to have, school sometimes once a week, mainly for that reason. I thought that was cool. I just said, throw that in there. Thanks.
I think that's good. I wish that would happen in our area, but at least they're starting to recognize that. Thank you, Victoria.
Yeah. You bet.
I'm gonna bring on Pamela. Thank you for being so patient. Pamela, you are back on with us.
Hi.
Pamela, Alabama.
Can
our
you hear
ambassador.
Me?
Yes.
Hi. Okay. Yeah, I live in Louisiana, but I am the ambassador for Alabama. Kind of unique. Johnny Rock, I think, is our Louisiana ambassador.
Right.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I think more ambassadors need to get back involved with NASCA. Maybe we can send out a, you know, some kind of a campaign where we can get in touch with one another, send a little card out to each other saying, you know, let's start doing our panels again and, you know, get more involved. But yeah,
I think that's a great
POW
idea.
Stuff, yeah, this POW stuff. Whenever I was getting healed and telling people my story, I was saying I was a POW before POWs were even mentioned. You know,
right?
Back in the '60s, I was a prisoner of war.
That's right. Well,
at the age of 15, my mother and her second husband divorced. So I thought, surely now I'm away from this guy, right? Well, she got an apartment. I had two other six sisters. They were physically and emotionally abused, but they weren't sexually abused. I was the only one he sexually abused. But whenever she moved and you know, away from him because she divorced him, she got an apartment. And I only had two bedrooms, so my sisters had to be in one bedroom, and she made me go stay with him. She wouldn't let me live with her. Because she, and see, I didn't know at the time that she had pimped me to him. You understand what I'm saying? She was getting money from him to stay quiet. So she had all she needed. She had a babysitter in him, and she had, she could do it, live her life as she wanted to, partied on Sunday. I mean, she was something. But I forgive her. She's gone now. But my abuser's still alive. He's 70. He's probably 80 something. I forgive them all. I mean, forgiveness is for myself. It's not for them.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Forgiveness is not for the person that hurts you. They don't know and they don't care. Forgiveness sets me free, you know? Free not to think about it. Yes.
Not allow the bitterness to consume you. It's just to get your power back, right?
Yeah, what I'm doing now is I've started a new website. It's called womensurvivorsinbusiness.org. And what I'm trying to do is make entrepreneurs, help women who are, you know, getting healed, become entrepreneurs to help other women.
What a fabulous idea. I love that. I love that.
Well,
thank
let me
you.
Give you my website. It's womensurvivorsinbusiness.org.
Okay. Women survivors for business or
in business?
Business.
No, in business.
Women's.
It'll
so, womensurvivorsinbusiness.org.
Yeah. It'll take their mind off what they're going through. They'll be able to learn how to have a website. I'm going to teach them how to admin their website, and they're going to put products up for sale, and we're going to buy from one another. We're going to be our own Amazon, our own Facebook, and our own Instagram, and our own YouTube. I mean, we're just going to have a network, and you know, we're going to interact with Zoom and all kinds of different things. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I think that's awesome. So womensurvivorsinbusiness.org, check it out. If you're a woman survivor in business, please check it out. I think that's wonderful. And I think just taking action when you can and supporting each other is part of the healing as well. Thank you, Pamela.
I mean, you're welcome.
So much. I am now going to move on to Carol. Welcome, Carol, our Vice President of NASCA from New Jersey back on. We have, believe it or not, 10 minutes left in the show. Time flies. Time just flies on the show. Charlie always said that an hour and a half goes by very quickly. Welcome back, Carol.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm just listening to what you just said. You see, any way that we can help each other, because I'm going all the way back also to, I read an article not too long ago that when children, you know, see even domestic violence, don't think that domestic violence takes, you know, like a second place to child abuse, because that is child abuse. It's just in a different way, and it affects you mentally. But it's also equated to the same type of what the vets go through. They actually look at that as a trauma being very, very similar. I just wanted to get that out there. When you experience domestic violence, you're always scared you're going to be next. You're afraid you're going to be hit, and you're watching your loved ones get hit around you, and sometimes even more than hit, and that's very unfortunate. I went through all of that. And that in itself can be terrible trauma. So they say that the vets actually have the same type of trauma, and it's like complex PTSD, because something that happens over and over and over then becomes complex. As far as what you were saying about this business that you're thinking about starting and so forth, I'm having a little trouble hearing. I think my phone's going to die, so if you lose me, forgive me. I'm on the phone a lot, and a lot of times my phone's just all, you know, need to be charged. But anyway, I think that's great, okay? And any way that we can find to support each other, even outside of NASCA, whatever you're doing, this is all wonderful, because we need to heal. Those of us, you know, who have healing issues, those people out there who are really, really, you know, in need of help, I think to form a woman's group is a very good thing to do, too. I wish that there were more men's group. December, coming up, December is the month where awareness is for the male survivors of child abuse. And it's starting to come out more, and they certainly need just as much help as the women do. I just want to get that out there. Hey, guys, I haven't forgotten about you, okay? And maybe on NASCA, you know, we'll do a night or two, you know, devoted to men who have come out, you know, and who are coming out now about their child abuse. So often, I just want to get this out there, Penelope, because this is important. December is almost here. Men so often have to, you know, stuff away their feelings. And they have the same feelings that we do, okay? But they're not allowed to feel. They're not allowed to feel. And I find that to be very, very sad, because that's why they have so much anger issues. I have anger issues. I'm not a guy, obviously. But men have so much anger issues, and they take it out on their families. They can't maybe do well at work. They turn into alcohol, drug addicts like I had done, and like so many people do, male or female, you know, to suppress the feelings that we go through, because we never do forget the past. I put the past in another part of my brain. This is what I've done. And anytime I want to tap into it, I can. And that's okay. It can stay there. I don't need the past anymore, okay, to look at or to obsess over, because at one time I did obsess over it, okay? I used to, when I was alone in the house, I'd walk around in a circle and I'd say, I want to kill this one, I want to do this one, that one, I want to do this, that, that. On and on and on and on it went, because I was abused so many times. And finally, I just fell to the floor. I got exhausted. I couldn't hate anymore. Now, hate doesn't do any good anyway, okay? So with me, yes, I gave my feelings to God, okay? This is how I handled it. So between So between the counselors that I did see at a church group, this is how I began. This is how I began in social services way back in the service in the 70s. And I did that until the late 90s and still doing it off and on. I don't even charge now, for God's sake. But the point is, we all have to find our own way to heal. And it doesn't matter how we do it. So, you know, forming groups is very good also. And, you know, I'm going to get that from you later, Penelope, because I can't quite hear now. I think my phone's going to die very soon. But the point is, whatever we can do for each other, okay, is a wonderful thing. And it'll help us, you know, to grow those who are still suffering from all kinds of PTSD. We're going to have PTSD, you know, and then from there, hopefully we heal. And I'm at the point now where I'm comfortable. Like Bill likes to say, he and I talk back and forth all the time, you know, comfortable in my own skin. Now I'm comfortable in my own skin. Okay.
Wonderful. Oh, thank
you. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
So I wanted just to quickly give Darlene and William from Tennessee, just we've got almost four minutes left. So just a quick check-in with Darlene and William from Tennessee. Thank you for being patient and waiting. Wanted just to bring you back on, and do you have a few final words before we start to close out the show? And I know that they're on the road. So Darlene and William from Tennessee, your mic is on.
Hello.
Oh, you're there. Okay.
Yes. And all of a sudden, his phone went dark, and then that was asking for a fingerprint, and all this other crap was like, we're trying to answer.
No worries. So we've got 2 minutes left. I just didn't know if you had a few final, you know, brief words for us before I close out the show.
I want people to know that I am doing my story Friday. So please come Friday and support me if you can. And
absolutely.
I am so glad to hear that there's another ambassador here as well tonight.
Pamela, our Alabama ambassador who lives in Louisiana. We have a very robust panel. So if please call in and support Darlene this Friday. She is a special guest on the NASCA show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm in Washington, so that's 5 p.m. Pacific Time. But I'm looking forward to calling into your show, Darlene. Thank you for mentioning that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all for calling in. I'm actually going to unmute everybody's mic one by one, and I'm going to embarrass Charlie, but if you, in addition to my co-host Charlie, you have served, if your family member has served our country, I wish to open up your mics, and I would first of all like to thank you all for your flexibility in staying and being on the show as we change direction a little bit. Also, I wish to just invite you to clap and cheer our veterans this evening, and our veteran Charlie is included in that.
Yay.
So thank you.
Yes.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Yay, right. Veteran. Yay.
Thank you.
That's right.
Oh yeah. I did want to just do some quick clarification, just real quick, everyone, for just one moment. It was on my part. I dropped the ball. I didn't happen to mention that Bob from Australia is our Australian ambassador. Bob did have to step away. He did offer a fond farewell to all of us, and he was in no way offended by not being mentioned as an ambassador. But it's been exciting for me tonight not only to have Penelope jump into doing her first show, seeing her ability to overcome the adversity, and watching what's culminated into just an amazingly powerful show. So thank you so much, Penelope, and everyone else. And, hey, tonight, Ambassador showed up strong, and I think a lot of that, I want to give credit where it's due. Carol has been working diligently behind the scenes for quite a while now. And, Carol, I think your work is showing itself through what we're experiencing tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to say one thing, too. I have many friends that served and also family members. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you come back okay, and other times you don't, okay? And so those people out there who have served, thank you so much. I have personal experience with it, so, you know,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We have run out of time, so we're gonna get that Penelope an opportunity to close the show out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, we are. Bye. Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for your participation and your support for me, your first-time host on the show this evening, so thank you. This was the Stop Child Abuse Now blog talk, Radio Skin 2528. I wish our veterans, and a salute to them on this Veterans Day, November 11th, 2020, and God bless.
Talk Radio.